Well, Friday, again, not many people were happy with the jobs report. In fact, most people were kind of depressed that the unemployment rate actually rose to 9.2%. It's been 2 years since officially the recession ended, and yet most of the country still feels like it's in a recession. Joining us now, Alexander Jaron, an unemployed worker, formerly worked in corporations in management positions, customer service, business development. And Alexander, I understand you haven't actually had a job since August of 2008.
Since March of 2008, that's
March.
Correct.
Okay, so how have you been getting by?
I received my unemployment for 99 weeks, and since then, basically, the kindness of strangers. I lost my apartment in July of last year, and I've been homeless ever since.
You've been homeless, and you're still applying for jobs. Has it made it more difficult that you're now homeless?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So at this point, I mean, what does the future look like for you, Alexander? I mean, do you have a limited amount of time, or could it just go on like this indefinitely?
Well, when you say limited amount of time,
I mean, is there a point at which you say, I can only go this far before I can have to actually find someone who can help me with bills? I can only go this long.
I have had help from the kindness of strangers. If it was not for the kindness of strangers, I probably wouldn't be here.
Well, let me ask you the question that we're asking all of our other listeners then. Do you think that your politicians in Washington have the right priorities in mind here?
I really think that their priorities are skewed in the wrong direction.
That they need to be focusing on the unemployed.
They need to be focusing on the unemployed. They need to be focusing on bringing jobs, growing jobs, bringing jobs back to this country instead of shipping them out of the country and building a middle class in other countries. They need to be developing those jobs here to support our middle class instead of driving the middle class into a very poor class.
Alexander Jaron is unemployed. She's been unemployed since March of 2008, formerly worked in management positions in a number of departments. Also with us, Dan Gross, economics editor and columnist for Yahoo Finance. You know, Dan, listening to Alexandra, it does kind of make you feel like these arguments over the debt ceiling are academic.
Yeah, it does seem like, you know, this has evolved into a sort of pathology of our political class. Unemployment, 9.2%. Anemic job creation, sort of desperation among people who want to work. Millions of people, you know, the untapped human resources in this country that are not being used, and all they can talk about is, you know, how much we're going to cut Social Security and Medicare, should we be raising taxes, et cetera. There is a large degree of invisibility. I think a chunk of that has to do with the demographics of the unemployed. The unemployment rate for people who have college educations is 4%. So among the college educated, there is no crisis of employment. I mean, you know, that's elevated, but 4% is not tragic. For people who have some college, for people who have high school only, people who have not completed high school, the unemployment rate is in the double digits. And in our political system, they're largely invisible.
Alexander Jaron, do you have a college degree?
I do.
And you're still unemployed?
And I'm still unemployed.
Have you written to your politicians?
I have written. I have called. I have spoken. In December, I organized a letter-writing campaign to Bernie Sanders in which I collected letters from people all over the country and delivered them to him explaining what was going on. It coincided with his 8.5 hours on the floor. I have to beg to differ with you. The people that I know that are unemployed are very well-educated people. We happen to be around 50, between 40 years old and up, maybe a little bit younger. But when you're interviewing or when you're trying to talk to someone about applying for a job, even that you will start on the ground level, if you're talking to a 25-year-old and you're 50 years old, you can say whatever you want. They have a different perspective than you do.
Dan Gross, I mean, it does often feel, although you just quoted the statistics there, it does often feel as though this unemployment rate is really cutting across all class lines.
It is. Again, you know, I'm just looking at the data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and I think it, you know, for people, I think the demographic issue is also people who are older. When they're out of the workforce for a while, they have to compete with people who are younger and who are willing to work for much less. But I think from the political perspective, you know, look who gets attention. You know, the bankers, the corporations. Not to get too leftist about it, but the system responds to the needs and desires of the powerful and the connected. And by and large, the powerful and the connected these days have jobs.
Well, all right. Dan Gross is economics editor and columnist for Yahoo Finance. Let's just get down to brass tacks here then, Dan Gross, because there are a lot of people who were powerful and connected up until a year or two ago and now are not. So how do they change that? What do you expect? What do you suggest that somebody like Alexandra Jarin could do? I mean, how does she get the attention of her politicians? Is it even possible?
I think, you know, we are at something of a people are talking about a crisis of governance in Washington, you know, where the Republicans and the Democrats can't agree on the basics of, you know, should the government increase its debt ceiling to pay its bills. And I think there's also something of a crisis in governance in the sense that, you know, we don't have, as much as people hope that Obama would be this transformative presence, that, you know, he is not turning into an FDR. On Friday, I was listening to and tweeting some excerpts from FDR's reelection speech in 36, where he was talking about what they had done the last 4 years, who he had stood up for, the exertions that he had taken to help the people who were disenfranchised, out of work, et cetera. And I don't think Obama or any politician could make a similar speech next year, because what they have done for the people struggling is they passed the stimulus in March of 2009. Good. They passed the health care reform in, you know, later that year. Good. And since then, there's this kind of fatalism that, you know, we can't get any more stimulus from Congress. The Fed is not going to do anything more because it's scared of its own shadow. The Republicans control the House. There's this kind of economic fatalism that has set in that I think is, you know, it's going to be damaging to their electoral prospects, but it's also damaging to the psyche of the country.
Alex, it's Dan Gross, economics editor and columnist for Yahoo Finance. Alexandra Jarin, in the minute that we have left, would you move anywhere to get a job?
I have moved a number of times.
So that would be a yes.
I will be in the street on Wednesday morning. And without any way to go anywhere. I have looked for jobs all over this country, along with many, many other people. And I've applied for minimum wage jobs as well as other jobs, qualified for and not qualified for. And I have gotten little to no response. And I can't tell you what's worse, not hearing from someone or hearing from a company that sets up an interview and calls you and tells you that they're doing away with the position. Because they can't afford it any longer. It's disgusting.
Alexandra Jarin, unemployed since March of 2008. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It clearly sets the debate over the debt ceiling into perspective, one would think, and also helps you to really feel that 9.2 unemployment rate. Please give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE with your story of whether or not you think politicians have the right priorities in mind. Also, we spoke with Dan Gross, the economics editor or columnist for Yahoo Finance. Cinda Hendershot agrees with Alexandra Jarin. She says, bring jobs that are overseas back to America. I don't buy into the idea that Americans won't do those jobs. That's what they want us to believe. What do you think? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can catch up with any other stories you heard today at our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee, and this is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.